Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and today I'm speaking with Grammy winner, iconic world music drummer Glenn Velez, and acclaimed rhythm vocalist Loar Cotler, and David Alderdice, who is a local musician and teacher, and is also producing and artistically directing the World Music in Paradise series. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to start out with a piece composed by Glenn Velez. This is called Hittite Prana.
Go!
low. Ah, there, that, 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 on the way. Ah, nay. Ho, ah, hey, that, get that, on go away. Ah, lay. No, ah, there, that, get that, on the way. Ah, nay. Zek, get, don't go, and bet, that, get that, don't go, wet, that, go, don't bet, that, get, don't bet, that, 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 go, don't bet, that, get that, don't go, wet, that, go, don't bet, that, get, don't bet, that, that,
that was a piece called Hittite Prana, composed by Glenn Velez, performed by Loar Kotler and also David Alderdice here in the Bamboo Room at KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and you're tuned in to Talkin' Music. I know that the word prana means breath. What does Hittite mean?
Well, the Hittites were an ancient people of Anatolia. They are mentioned in the Bible, actually, the Hittites, and they were around 700 BC. That's when that empire was big.
Okay. What inspired this piece for you?
Well, it's got a connection with Turkey, because in modern-day Turkey, the cycle of nine beats, there's a nine-beat cycle that's very, very popular in Turkey as part of their music. So I took that nine-beat cycle and just kind of played with it in a little bit new way and created a melody that I thought fit with the rhythms.
Mm-hmm. And so do you compose the piece, and then, Laura, do you write your part?
This piece was already composed, so the melody was notated. But the part that I create is, well, what syllables am I going to sing? How am I going to interpret Glenn's melodies in a way that tells a story? And so to answer the question, the piece is already composed, but the interpretation comes from my approach to the voice, using ways of articulating syllables and different scat singing syllables, drum language syllables, and influences from around the world. And then, of course, there's this improvisation section where I just let loose.
Yeah.
You know, this is interesting. The aspect of what Loar brings to this is that these melodies are mostly intended originally, when I wrote them, for instruments like a saxophone or whatever instrument. So Loar is so skilled at creating the specific syllables that work in the context of this kind of instrumental melody. So that's a very unique contribution that she's making to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really fun, and our listeners won't be able to see, but here in the Bamboo Room, Loar is moving around, and there's a lot of energy and movement happening, and it was really fun. You're in town opening up the World Music in Paradise series, and this is not your first time to Paeonia. You've been here before, and I'd like to welcome you back.
Thank you.
It's great to be back.
What drew you to be a part of this World Music series?
Well, I think it's really David's vision, you know, and him seeing that what we do fits into the context of this kind of world music genre. And I know that he's very skilled and interested in the frame drum, which is the main drum that I play. So we have that connection that the frame drum is really a instrument that you can draw a lot of different ideas and melodies out of. So, you know, I think he appreciates it also in that way.
And you're the godfather of the hand drum, right?
You know, when I started to explore this particular drum, and the frame drum is just like a tambourine, but with no jingles. But I play tambourines also. They're part of the same family. But I started this in around 1977, started to explore frame drums, and just became more and more enamored and caught up in the possibilities of the drums, and finding out that they're found all over the world, many different ways of playing them. And even though it's a very, very simple drum, it has many, many different technical things that you can do on it. So you can draw a lot of different sounds out of it.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is that you've kind of created a hybrid hand drum, utilizing, you know, music from different cultures. And do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, that relates to what I just said, in the sense that if you study the frame drum in the Middle East, for instance, then there's a whole set of techniques that are available to you and that drummers there have been using for many, many years. And then if you look at the frame drum in South India, there's a wonderful tambourine called a kanjira, and using those techniques, learning about those different techniques, and then combining them onto one drum that I enjoy playing, this kind of drum. It's a large frame drum. And so, yeah, it's a very hybridized kind of way of looking at the frame drum. But the idea for me is just that it's a sound tool, and the more you can get out of it, the more satisfaction you can get out of playing it.
How many hand drums do you own?
You know, it varies, because once you start to collect them, it kind of mushrooms fast. So then you realize, I can't keep collecting these things. So I'll sell them to students and whatever. So I probably have 50 or 60 that I wouldn't sell and that I use in the context of performance and teaching.
That's incredible. Yeah. How long have the two of you been collaborating on music?
We met in 2002, and we started to work together, and it's just been bliss ever since. We keep creating, keep figuring out new ways to use these two instruments, the voice and the drum, and we keep discovering more and more possibilities.
And you have another piece for us that's a sneak peek.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one is called Miriam's Prophecy, and of course, the Miriam that I'm referring to is the one from the Bible, and she was a very early player of the frame drum. This connection with ancient women who play the frame drum is very, very powerful, because there is a feeling that the reemergence of the frame drum is important for the reemergence of more power for women. Women as drummers, in other words. So in this one, I'm using a tambourine, and this is a Middle Eastern tambourine called a rick. The particular one I have is a Lebanese one, but these are found all over the Middle East.
And I want to just add that, I realized there were two biblical references today. These pieces aren't coming from a place of religion. It's just that we are both very interested in the ancient world. And so it's just kind of a coincidence, I think, that there were those sort of references. But while there is a lot of spirituality in what we do, we don't have an alignment in that way, in any one way. We just, we like to look to the farthest back place before the internet. And then we see where we land.
Yeah.
And this is Miriam's Prophecy. Dit don kita daka daka kita daka doom da doom. Digu daka kita daka daka kita daka doom da doom. A dit don kita daka daka kita daka doom da digu daka kita daka daka kita daka doom da dit don kita daka daka kita daka 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 kita daka daka kita daka ta. Ta digu daka kita. Ta-dig-ta-kita, ta-dig-ta-da-ga-ta-dig-ta-da-ga.
Dit-dong-gidi-dig-ta-dig-dig-dig-doom, ta-doom. A-dig-u-ta-dig-dig-dig-dig-dig-doom, ta-doom. Ta-ga-dit-dong-gidi-dig-ta-dig-dig-dig-doom, ta-dig-u-ta-dig-dig-dig-dig-dig-doom, ta-dit-dong-gidi-dig-ta-dig-dig-dig-dig-dig-dig-dig-dig-ta. Ta-dig-ta-kita, ta-dig-ta-kita.
Doom.
That was a piece called Miriam's Prophecy, composed by Glenn Velez and also performed by Laura Kotler. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm in the Bamboo Room with Laura Kotler and Glenn Velez. Laura, when did you discover your voice?
I don't know that I have yet. So I started to feel comfortable singing out loud, probably not until high school. Mm-hmm. I did it in secret up until I turned 15 or 16, and then I felt more comfortable to sing out. I started with piano, really, and I was writing little songs in that since probably around age 11, but I didn't really express them out to the public or to the family until high school. And it was my first jazz teacher, Dave Burns Sr., a very well-known trumpeter who played with everyone from, I think, Count Basie to Duke Ellington, big bands, Thelonious Monk, and he introduced me to scat singing. And that was it. I saw the rest of my life in front of me and then realized that I was going to devote my work to my voice and what I can do with my voice rhythmically, improvisationally, and also how to tell the story of songs. And so that's what happened.
Awesome. And you have a debut solo album that's about to come out called 18 Wings.
Yeah.
What can we expect on this album?
Well, it's a dream come true because I've waited a long time to put my name on a record in the title. And Glenn is the creative director along with me and producer. And it comes from my obsession and passion for listening to the music from the Great American Songbook, but also a more contemporary, the ensemble trio Globo, which is Glenn Velez, Howard Levy, and Eugene Friesen. And I have been so inspired by them for so long. And so it was always this dream of mine that if I'm going to make a record, could I get Trio Globo to play with me? And that's exactly what happened. So in a lot of ways, that part of it is really the dream come true, is playing with them. And so it's a combination of original music and some selections from the Great American Songbook, which is a very big part of my path and my learning and how I discovered my voice, and I'm still discovering it. And so it's a reimagining of that repertoire through, I guess you could say, a sort of through world rhythms, really.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I can't wait to hear it. And yeah. I think we're going to get to sneak peek at least one track on this program.
Definitely.
Do you know which one that?
It'll be Bye Bye Blackbird, which has a alternate subtitle called 18 Wings, which is the title of the record. And the reason is because there are these really extensive original interludes that are built into each piece. And so I think that we'll give you that one.
Okay, yeah. Great. We'll take a listen to Bye Bye Blackbird.
No one here loves me or understands me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. Keep that.
That was a song called Bye Bye Blackbird off of Lior Kotler's upcoming album called 18 Wings. You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. Let's get back to our interview with Lior Kotler and Glenn Velez. And Lior, you shared a couple of your teachers before. Glenn, who have some of your greatest teachers been?
You know, I started out studying in conservatory, so I went to Manhattan School of Music in New York. That's how I wound up in New York. And my teacher there was a man named Fred Hinger. He was very famous patriarchal figure in the world of percussion. He was a timpanist, and he played in the Philadelphia Orchestra for many years, and then he moved to the Metropolitan Opera and played in their orchestra with the timpani. And he was the timpanist in the score for 2001, you know, Thus Spake Zarathustra, the Strauss piece. Bom, 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 bom. He was the one that was playing timpani on that. So that was his most famous thing I think he did. But he was a great thinker about percussion. So he was my first teacher. And then when I got into this frame drumming, I went around in New York. There's all these ethnic communities, you know, so you can go and find some Arabic musicians and find some South Indian musicians and find some South Italian musicians. So all these places, Brazilian musicians, all these places where frame drum and tambourines are possible, I started to study there. And then after that, I started to do some traveling to the different places and see what the instrumental techniques were like in the different areas.
And I feel like what you both do is so open, and there's a lot of freedom to kind of play and create.
Yeah, I mean, musically is ultimately about the enthusiasm that you have for making sound. Everyone has that. And we have so many layers of hesitation on top of that, you know, because of people judging us or whatever. But when you get past that, you find that there's a tremendous field of self-satisfaction available there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming by KVNF. I'm very excited for the World Music in Paradise series and that you are a part of it. And a big thank you to David for producing this and for bringing you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Be sure to check out kvnf.org for more of our original programming and for direct links to musicians Glenn Velez, Lior Kotler, and David Alderdice's World Music in Paradise series. Thank you for listening.